Iraq's interim government has 6 women ministers. For the first time, women are permitted to join the police and the army. And women's groups in urban areas are pressing for full equality in the new Iraq. But in the country's villages, it's a different story. Women there struggle with poverty, illiteracy, and restrictive social traditions. For the second part of our series about women in Iraq, NPR's Anne Garrels visited Al-Ma'afat, a village south of Baghdad.
The clatter of cooking shatters the early morning silence. There is an unstinting rhythm to life here. After dawn prayers, the women prepare breakfast. It's still cool as they slap dough into flat rounds, but it's not long before the oven and the white-hot sun turn the bare kitchen into a furnace. Abu Muhammad and his wife, their unmarried daughters, and 3 sons with their respective families share this mud-brick compound. As the patriarch appears, the women quickly tug black robes over their heads in a sign of respect. Once Abu Muhammad passes, the heavy folds fall back to their shoulders. Sweat glistens on their necks. Everyone here is married to a first cousin. Aunts turn into mothers-in-law. Brothers become brothers-in-law. It's a tight-knit group. No one here questions this tradition, which reinforces family ties and the family's modest wealth. But the women do hope for one change, that their daughters will get the education they were denied. 59-year-old Majida never went to school. Her daughters and daughters-in-law finished only primary school.
Because of the circumstances, you know, not all of the people couldn't send their children to school and their girls, and even the boys, not just the girls.
Literacy in the waning years of the Saddam regime plummeted nationwide, especially for girls. Huda, now 27, was only 14 when she married her cousin. They have 5 children.
I didn't expect that I would get married early. We wished that we would finish education, but the circumstances were harder. You know, the expenses of school, and there are no schools close by.
She's determined that all her children will be educated now. She proudly points to her eldest child, a son, who's about to enter high school. He grins back. There is now a local secondary school, but it's co-ed. And Kadam Nimr, another cousin, says mixing of the sexes remains unacceptable for some.
Yes, some people feel uncomfortable. That's why they don't send their girls. And that's why only 10% go to study in the secondary school. And about 30 girl students that attended the 6th primary school, so they finished their primary education, only 3 to 4 girls go to secondary class. So that's a very small percentage.
In Mafat, the women tend the animals and look after the children. They seldom leave the village and only then escorted by a male relative. But the outside world is creeping in. Satellite TV banned under Saddam is all the rage in Iraq, even here. For 22-year-old Niyad, it provides a welcome break to a boring routine as well as invaluable information.
We had no idea. We knew nothing under Saddam Hussein. There was nothing. We had no idea about the outside world. Even Iraq, we didn't know much about Iraq.
Coming up, they were $92,000 in debt and at each other's throats.
I do put my foot down.
Yes, this is Oprah, by far the most popular program in this village. It's broadcast in English with Arabic subtitles. A discussion of credit card debt may seem a little absurd to women who have no furniture, no phones, and no running water, but they're wrapped. They scrutinize the clothing which they dream about wearing, albeit under their black robes. They're intrigued by stories about professional women. Their favorites, though, are about family life.
Yeah, some of them are nice, some of them. Some of them discuss marriage, divorce, kids, so that's why it's nice.
37-year-old Amuna and her husband don't miss an episode.
It's a very pretty show that we watch all the time. Sometimes we cry on the human situation that people go through on Oprah. Some of the series they have or the shows that they show, you know, people suffering from a disease or something and, you know, by miracle somebody gets saved, you know. He gets saved over there, but he dies here.
Amuna turns wistful. Though the problems everyone faces may be the same, the solutions are very different. Here in Iraq, she says, we still live the impossible. Anne Garrels, NPR News.